Welcome to Songs of Praise from 3ABN Australia Radio.
Where I find shadows of the night melt away. In you alone, this promise I can cling to. In you alone, you're my security. In you alone, my soul has found a dwelling place. Only in you alone. What could separate me from your love? Neither life nor death nor anything at all.
My soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when He reached down His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, when He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God. When He reached down His hand for me, I was near to despair when He came to me there, and He showed me that my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. In the tempest, to Him I then flee, there to lean on His arm, safe, secure from all harm, since He reached down His hand. When the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me.
This is Songs of Praise, brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio.
Things that you knew would make Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, your compassions, they fail not. Springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and star in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to your great faithfulness, mercy, and love.
Oh, Tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'shadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still, be still, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still, be still, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still. Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. Their sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor, and rest on the blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still, be still, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still.
You're listening to Songs of Praise.
Acquainted with grief, is a sun and shield, he reigns immortal bright. And the darkness cannot abide in him, we know our God is light. Giving grace and glory to every child in whom he takes delight. Trust that no good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk upright. His unapproachable majesty, the sovereign one looks down, and he pours out blessings upon the earth, on good and evil men. But the greatest gift, the most perfect love, the Father e'er bestowed, was his only Son, high exalted one, who was sacrificed for
will never be a day in your life when God won't come through. He's bigger than the mountain. He's stronger than the storm. His love is like no other. You can run into his arms. When there's a mountain in front of you, he'll make the mountain move. When the road ahead seems too dark, he'll guide you through. When the waters are in front of you, he'll part them too. There's never been a day in your life. Oh, they'll never.
That used to fear the Lord, to a people whose foundation was built upon God's word. We've allowed the world's opinion to chart a different way, but it's time the Church of Jesus Christ should boldly stand and say, God's word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men. God's word will stand. Take it from the courthouse walls, remove it from the schools. Teach our children that we're animals, speak against the golden rule. Try and hide our Christian heritage from the public eye, but they'll never overcome God's word, no matter how they try. God's word stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men. God's word will stand.
Listening to 3ABN Australia Radio's Songs of Praise.
fetter, bind my yielded heart to thee. Let me know thee in thy fullness. Guide me by thy mighty hand.
Till transformed in thine own image, in thy presence I shall stand.
To listen. Jesus, spread his praise from shore to shore. How he loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, nevermore. How he watches o'er his loved ones, die to call them all his own. How for them he intercedeth, watcheth o'er them from the throne. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing, 'tis a sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus is a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to.
You've been listening to Songs of Praise, a production of 3ABN Australia Radio.
Welcome to the book reading program of 3ABN Australia Radio. Does your faith need a boost? Do you think that miracles only happened in Bible times? Think again. Compiled by Remnant Publications, the book Get Ready for a Miracle recounts true stories that prove that when we step out in faith, God displays His power in undeniable ways. Here is our reader, Koval Smith.
This story is entitled, The God Who Heals. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." The screecher brakes cut the warm afternoon stillness as the loaded jeepney slid to a gravelly stop at Tullypapa. A sleepy dog raised his head, looked at the jeep, and then lay back down. A puff of blue smoke drifted upward as the driver gunned the engine and then shut it off. He slid out of his seat, ambled over to a sawhorse and plywood restaurant, and sat down on a wooden bench to wait for his rice and fish. The passengers on the hot metal jeepney roof stood up and stretched, climbed down, and made their way over to the cool shade of the vegetable market while they waited for the driver to eat his lunch. The passengers sitting inside the jeepney slouched in their seats as a bevy of women made their way over to them to sell snacks of sweet rice, soft drinks, peanuts and balu, and fermented eggs containing fetal chicks. Lunito dropped lightly down from the jeepney roof and made his way over to the shade. He wished the driver had waited a bit longer before stopping for lunch. His stop at Pandarokan was just a few miles further. Thirst drove Lunita to look around the rickety sheds for a water faucet. Spying an old broken pipe sticking out of the ground, Lunita opened the valve, bent over, and drank his fill. 15 minutes later, as he swung himself back onto the jeepney roof, Lunita felt a twinge in his stomach. He thought, "I must have eaten something that did not agree with me." A few miles down the road, he dropped off of the jeepney, waved goodbye to the driver, and walked into Pandarukan. 9 hours later, Lunito was in grave trouble. He was vomiting almost continuously and had terrible diarrhea. He was dying. The villagers had many times before seen it happen. Lunito had the dreaded cholera. They tried to get Lunito to drink some water, but as fast as he drank, the fluid came back out even faster. Seventh-day Adventist elders hurried from hut to hut, collecting money to pay for Lunito's fare to the Mum Brow Hospital. Without an IV infusion, he would certainly die. However, there was not enough money in the village to get Lunito to the hospital. Having done all they could physically do for Lunito, the elders and Adventist church members gathered around him and began praying to God for his healing. Hour after hour crept by. The crickets continued their chirping and the river behind his hut continued its burble, but Lunito's heartbeats gradually slowed until he faded into unconsciousness. His eyes rolled back into his skull. Every bone in his body seemed to be poking through his shrunk and taut skin. Finally, tired and discouraged, the members and elders shuffled back to their huts. They knew there would be a funeral the next morning. In the morning, as the sun peeped over the green mountains and illuminated the Pandarucan Valley, the elders sadly trudged to Lunito's house. As they rounded the bend in the trail, they suddenly stopped and stared. There on the steps to his hut sat Lunito. He grinned and waved them over as he stuffed a banana into his mouth. "What's wrong?" he asked between bites. "You look like you're seeing a ghost."
Well, maybe we are," stammered the elders. "Last night when we left you, you were dying. Now you're alive and well. What happened?"
"The last thing I remember was all of you kneeling around me and praying," replied Lunito. "Then I woke up and felt awfully hungry. So I got my machete and walked to my mountain farm and cut off a stalk of bananas. God sure answered your prayers." The elders dropped to their knees and offered God thanks for his incredible saving miracle. Within minutes, word flashed through the village that the church's prayers had been answered. God is still at work in the Alangun Church. Word has spread all over the mountains of central Mindoro that the Adventist God heals. A few months ago, a skinny man dressed only in a loincloth and his wife, dressed in a flour sack, carried a small 4-year-old boy into Pandarucan. The boy had a severe fever, was barely breathing, and his eyes had rolled back into his head.
"We've heard that God listens to you," pleaded the parents. "Please pray for our son."
"The witch doctors have tried all of their medicines, but he continues to get worse. Talk with your God and ask him to heal him." Taking the child into their arms, the church elders knelt in a circle and prayed for his healing. The next day, the child was the same. Again, the elders prayed over him. The second day passed, and still there was no improvement. As the sun rose in the sky on the third day, the elders again knelt and prayed for the boy. The following day, the child showed much improvement. Slowly, day after day, the fever gradually left until he was able to eat and drink again. However, the fever left him unable to speak. The elders prayed again, and by the end of 2 months, the boy was able to speak and laugh and yell just like any other child. As the little family made their way back along the dirt trails through the mountain valleys, they told everyone they met how the God in Pandarucan village had healed their son. Not long ago, a middle-aged husband carried his sick wife into Pandarucan. He told how they had spent 4 months following a powerful witch doctor's orders for her healing. the husband had sacrificed all of his pigs. He had given the doctor all of his money. He had killed all of his chickens in ritual after ritual, all to no avail. Next, he had borrowed money from his family and friends and had carried his wife down to the lowlands where a powerful Filipino spirit doctor lived. For a month, this spirit doctor had worked on his wife with no results. Finally, his money gone, the husband was carrying his wife home to die when he heard about a powerful god in Pandurucan. The elders and church members gathered around the young wife and prayed for her healing. Immediately she began to improve. At the end of 7 days, she was completely well, and she and her husband packed up their few possessions to begin the long walk back to their home. With tears in their eyes, they thanked the church members and elders for their prayers. "Thank you so very much for your prayers," they said. "Truly, you know the God who heals." That message has covered the mountains where the Alangan live. As a result, the Alangan Seventh-day Adventist Church is experiencing rapid growth. A reflection associated with this story comes from The Desire of Ages, page 348. "It is for our own benefit to keep every gift of God fresh in our memory. Thus, faith is strengthened to claim and to receive more and more. There is greater encouragement for us in the least blessing we ourselves receive from God than in all the accounts we can read of the faith and experience of others. The soul that responds to the grace of God shall be like a watered garden. His health shall spring forth speedily, his light shall rise in obscurity, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon him. Let us then remember the loving kindness of the Lord and the multitude of his tender mercies." The God Who Heals was written by Tim Holbrook of Adventist Frontier Missions. It's used by permission of Adventist Frontier Missions. Adventist Frontier Missions seeks to establish indigenous Seventh-day Adventist church planting movements with unreached people groups. You can visit afmonline.org for more information.
You've been listening to the book reading program by 3ABN Australia Radio, featuring Get Ready for a Miracle. For more information about this book, visit remnantpublications.com.
We hope you enjoy the short presentation from lineagejourney.com.
Sometime after the death of Sarah, Isaac married Rebecca and they had two twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau was a hunter, wild and impetuous, always living for the moment. Jacob was a strategist, quieter and more stable. Longing for the spiritual blessing that accompanied the birth of the eldest son, Jacob deceived his father and stole the birthright. Forced to leave home in the aftermath of this debacle, Jacob traveled north to Haran, where he married two sisters, Leah and Rachel, due to the deceit of his father-in-law. Sensing a need to reconcile with his brother, Jacob, along with his wives and children, made the trek back home and made peace with Esau. He would then settle in the hill country right here around Jerusalem. One of the most significant turning points in his life was when he wrestled with an angel and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, meaning overcomer. His descendants would then be known as the Israelites. Jacob had 13 children from 4 different women, and his favorite son was Joseph. He gifted him a multicolored coat, which aroused the jealousy of his brothers. One day, Joseph was carrying food to his brothers and they attacked him and threw him into a pit. This site here in Dothan is traditionally thought to be the pit that Joseph was thrown into. Deciding not to kill him, they sold him to some Midianite traders for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph was then taken to Egypt, where he was sold as a slave to Potiphar. Transitioning from favorite son to slave, Joseph worked tirelessly in Potiphar's house. Initially, he flourished, but things didn't last long. Falsely accused of assaulting Potiphar's wife, he was thrown into jail where he remained until he was summoned by Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream that he couldn't understand, and the king's butler recommended Joseph as an interpreter of dreams. The king had a twofold dream. He saw seven fat cows, seven lean cows. He saw seven full ears of grain and seven withered ears of grain. Joseph correctly interpreted that it would mean 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. He then tells Pharaoh that he needs to prepare for the 7 years of plenty. Interestingly, during this time, there was an agricultural program whereby 17,000 acres of land, or 450 square kilometers, is irrigated. Many believe this correlates with the 7 years of plenty. This area of land today is connected by a man-made canal called Baha Yusef, or Joseph's Canal, to the River Nile, and is known as the Fayum Basin. Then during the 7 years of famine, there is a land reclamation project whereby all land that is privately owned is consolidated under the crown or pharaoh. Many believe this correlates with Genesis 47, which says they traded their land for food. During the 7 years of famine, Joseph is reunited with his brothers and he forgives them. And he also sees his father before he dies. His father, though, requests that he be buried not in Egypt, but that they carry his bones back to Israel, and he is buried in the cave of the patriarchs in Hebron. The children of Israel then lived here in Egypt, where the Bible says they lived in the land of Goshen, at first peacefully with their families, for the next few hundred years. This biblical story is rich in meaning, and there are many lessons to learn. Perhaps the most significant lesson from the life of Joseph is how he dealt with misfortune and fame. From favorite son to slave, to prisoner to prime minister, he always put God first in life. Never has someone been subject to such changes in life circumstances in such a short space of time. Joseph gives us an example of steadfastness in spite of change, no matter what life throws at us. May we be faithful to God and always put him first, no matter what happens with us.
To view more episodes in this series, visit lineagejourney.com.
You've been listening to a production of 3ABN Australia Radio.